Launching from an Etherport at RBN, cruising at light speed, here's your host, Steve Starrs.
Well, welcome back again, everybody, to another Monday show, and big week ahead of us, of course, tomorrow, 4th of July. A lot of people are going to be relaxing. I hope you are. I got some work done over the weekend. You know, I had to change out a garbage disposal, and it was more of a task than it should have been, but because the sink was bad and everything like that, too. But anyway, enough about me. A lot going on here, and I'm glad to be back again. Monday is important for me because you folks are important to me. And what's going on is really important right now. The things are just busting loose in France all over. There's been something like 25,000 fires, 2,400 people injured to some extent, or a number of different, arrested, not injured, but there have been some deaths, and people are blowing things out with shotguns. Macron government is coming apart. Le Pen has been talking to the people. Things are out of control, and it's basically an Islamic revolt, really, to a large extent. We're going to play a clip of that in a little bit here. But, we will be talking a little bit about that and about Islam, about what is happening with the incursion of Islamic influence and eventually control in places all over Europe. It's coming to the United States. Let's remember that the French were very involved in their revolution about the time we had ours in 1776, and they kept trying to make it happen, but it fell apart on them, and things went bad, and then, of course, Napoleon came along. But at the same time, we see over there happening now is going to be coming here, and it's going to get more dangerous. It's another part of the faction, the UN, and all of these people who are flooding into the country right now, who are insurgents and enemies that have not been stopped and have been, the gate has been left wide open. And a lot of these Islamic radicals are coming in over the southern border. That's already been documented pretty well. But we'll be talking about that and Islam. I'll say this to begin with. Most people think a mosque is like a church where it's a house of prayer. And it is. They do have their prayers and things like that. But essentially, a mosque is a government office, friends. It's a government office. If you were to ask these people coming into the country about their Islamic faith, and you'd have to explain to them, we have a First Amendment here that bars the establishment of a religion as a state-funded religion or a state-backed establishment of religion. Are you willing to swear an oath that your work here and your faith with Islam are going to be operating independent and in cohesion with our government, or are you going to try to take it over, and run things your way, which is pretty historic for Islam, isn't it? And, these people would lie and say, oh, no, we're very peaceful. But the reality is, they would not, if they swore an oath, and they would probably do that to lie, because they can do that if they like to perpetuate their religion. It's all okay with Allah, you could throw them out if you caught them, and that would be the first step I would take, if I were president. I'd say, this isn't going to happen. These people need to be notified right away. And they're very serious about taking over. Now, they're very divisive, of course, but divided among themselves as well. And we got this first clip. Yeah, Julie, let's go ahead and play. This is from John Bowen. It's posted up on the website, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. You can see it up there. You ought to see the visuals that go with it, but the audio is pretty strong. Let's go ahead and play that. I think we got it. Maybe not. Here you go.
As a result of the United Nations, the WEF, IMF, and the EU's intentionally disastrous open border policy, New World Order puppet French President Emmanuel Macron is forging ahead with the final stages of the Illuminati takedown of Western civilization.
Here are the key elements of a global agenda. To deliver on this agenda, we need cooperation, and especially we need cooperation between China and the US.
This is France right now, thanks to the mass immigration policy of Europe. How is looting Louis Vuitton stores advances the rights of minorities in France? How is chanting Allahu Akbar while setting vehicles on fire is advancing your cause? It does, if your cause is anarchy and radicalism.
One third of all the people arrested were young, sometimes very young people, he said, urging parents to keep them in tonight. He also blamed social media for fanning the protests, calling on internet companies to take down sensitive footage. Of course, it's because of this video of the shooting death of 17-year-old Nael that so many are outraged. He was the son of North African parents, and many believe his race made it easier for the officer to pull the trigger.
Over 100 French cities have been affected by looting, rioting, and random gunfire. 45,000 security forces deployed, over 2,400 arrests, 2,500 fires set, while in Lyon, France alone, 27 police officers were injured, seven of those by shotgun fire, in the fifth night of New World Order-driven anarchy.
But the United Nations has voiced its concerns about French police.
This is a moment for the country to seriously address the deep issues of racism and racial discrimination in law enforcement.
According to a CSA poll for CNews, 70% of France is favorable of restoring order with the army, as they have witnessed a terrifying 21st century Islamic crusade into Europe that has played out exponentially since 2015.
After the murders at the headquarters of magazine Charlie Hebdo, France became a different, more nervous country, facing fundamental questions about free speech and religion. As that unfolded, another attack was launched on a Jewish supermarket in the east of the capital by a close friend of the Kouachi brothers. Amedi Coulibaly, who had also pledged allegiance to the Islamic State, took several hostages and killed four people. And the worst fears were realised in November 2015, when 130 people were killed in one terrible evening in Paris, at the Bataclan Concert Hall and in nearby bars. It was the worst attack in France since the Second World War.
It is said that in 2050, Muslims in France will outnumber the French. But it is not these numbers that we are counting on to turn France into an Islamic country. Thus, the rule of Islam will spread to the entire world in one of three ways: conversion to Islam, payment of the jizya poll tax, or we will ask for Allah's help until the entire world is subject to the rule of Islam.
There will come a day that we will see far more radical extremists and terrorists coming out of Europe because of lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct, or assuming that they know the Middle East and they know Islam and they know the others far better than we do. And I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
Check out this map. It shows all the documented terror attacks since 9/11. And one thing really stands out. There is one solitary country in the heart of Europe with not a single red dot, not one terror attack in the last 20 odd years. And that country is Poland, my homeland.
How many refugees has Poland taken?
Zero.
This is the New World Order on the march, as security is traded for compassionate anarchic diversity, steadily manifesting order out of chaos into being. John Bound reporting.
All right, there you are. Thank you so much, Julie. That was great. You ought to see the clip, really. The visuals are much more important, really, than cohesive, actually, than just what we were talking about here. You can see it up at the website, republicbroadcasting.org. Cut and paste and send it out. I think I made a mistake. Did I say 25,000? It was 2,500, I believe, fires and problems like that, and 2,400 arrests, something like that. But that's still a lot of people. They've got them out on the streets everywhere trying to round up this crew. As you know, and I will qualify this to say that it's not just about Islam. There are all kinds of problems, and the New World Order takes advantage of these globalists take advantage of any group of people that they can get into control to create chaos, because they want to bring a new order out of chaos. I don't know if sending the military in is a solution as much as people just waking up to what's going on there, but it's gotten worse and worse. And as we celebrate July 4th, we have to remember this is the kind of thing that's going to be coming here real soon. And I can tell you some stories, and I'm going to, about my experiences with this, going back to 1979 with the when the Shah fell in Iran. I had a young friend who was, he was a Persian Jew. His name was Dariush. Now, Dariush is the Persian pronunciation of the word, of the name Darius that we read about in the Bible, like the Darius the Mede. The name Dariush is a king of kings, or a top king of all. So the Median Dariush was the one who was dealing with Daniel at that time and helped Daniel. Didn't want to throw him into the lion's den, but they forced him to do it. And the next morning, Daniel came out of the lion's den just fine, and he said, I think the lions need a new test. Maybe we'll take the families of the people and their fathers who instigated this plot against Daniel, and we'll see how well they do down in that lion's den. Well, they didn't do too well. They probably accused the king, Dariush, of feeding the lions before Daniel went down there. He said, well, I'll feed them real well this time, and you go down and see how you can do. The lions didn't like him anyway. It tore them apart. I mean, broke their bones as soon as they came in. They were just annoying. The lions did not like these people. So that is in the book of Daniel, chapter 6. I think you read about it. About 536 BC. But anyhow, getting back to the whole story here, that this little friend of mine who was from Persia, because at that time, and there have been for many years, a lot of Jews who still lived in that area, he came over to go to this university that I attended, Colorado State, which is an agricultural school, right? He was here to study agriculture and growing things and learning from us. And this was when we run good relations with the Shah, who, by the way, had gotten out of control. His SAVEK, his secret police, became very heavy-handed. I think the real reason why they got rid of the Shah was because he had the idea that he should get more money and payment for our oil under his ground, you know, kind of like Mossadegh did back in 53 when they threw him out. The Shah actually started and instigated OPEC, and he needed some strong-armed people to keep him in power, and it was very bad. The SAVEK was worse than the CIA, but actually part of the CIA at that time, and things went bad for the Shah, and they wanted to move the Shah out, and so our own CIA and Canadian intelligence under the UN, UN went in there and began to put out cassette tapes of the Ayatollah Khomeini to everybody. They were producing these in masses because they wanted to overturn this government. Where have we seen this before? Was it Batista in Cuba? Was it Noriega? Was it, this guy named Saddam? Remember him? I'm trying to remember what that guy was. Oh, yeah, he was in Iraq, wasn't he? I mean, we have seen these things happen. Look in Venezuela. You know, look at all these other places where the CIA and our government tampering gets into the situation. Anyway, long story short, this friend of mine from Iran was here, and he spoke good English, and it turned out he was Jewish, and Jews were very well liked and accommodated there in Persia, had been since Cyrus the Great, years and years ago, but things were changing very quickly, and he became a believer in Messiah Yeshua while he was here, which now made it really difficult for him, because his family was saying, what are you doing becoming a Christian believer? You're a Jew, you know, and he was having a lot of problem with that. And then, of course, you know, he was in between the whole situation. Was he for the Shah or against him? I went to the student center one morning to have a sweet roll and a cup of coffee, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden about 30 guys came in wearing sheets. It looked like the Ku Klux Klan, okay, with a big banner, down with Shah, down. I'm going, wow, whoa, this is intense. Here we are in like a state university here in Fort Collins, Colorado, and now it looks like there's this huge bloody riotous brigade of people. Well, some of them were against the Shah, some of them were for the Shah, so there was a real problem with a lot of these exchange students that were there. And of course, my little friend was trying to stay out of the whole thing, to be honest with you. We got to be pretty close, and he didn't want to be involved pro or against the Shah. He was just trying to get an education, and then he couldn't. His folks were kind of upset with him because he became a believer in Messiah Yeshua. He became a Jewish believer in Jesus, the Son of God, or Yeshua, or as he's known in Scripture, Yeshua. So anyhow, It was kind of an ordeal. And during that time, I wrote a letter to the Fort Collins Journal, which was the college newspaper at that time. And I'm going to tell you what I wrote in that letter. We'll probably hit the break first, but maybe I'll get to it. I basically explained that something very bad was happening in Iran. And though I didn't think the Shah was a good guy, I think the people were being misled, and Iran is sliding into deep darkness very, very quickly. And that, now that's a political statement, of course. But then I got into the scriptural problem with Islam, explaining that Islam is not a, it's not of God. It is a dangerous, misleading cult. It was one of the biggest, it's probably one of the biggest cults in the world. What is it, 900 million, something like it, almost a billion people involved in this cult. And I said, this thing is not the scriptures, and I'm going to show you where it is directly contrary, because people who believe in Islam do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, they will tell you he was a great prophet. He was a great prophet, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But the Jesus they teach out of Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible, friends. He's not the Son of God to them. And he did not die on a cross, according to Islam. It was his brother that looked like him, or his cousin, or it was Judas or somebody else. I mean, the stories that they create. See, the devil is very clever. He knows how to remove the critical piece of their faith and get them thinking that they know what they're talking about. It came along many years after Christianity, even after Constantine, you know, had assimilated the Holy Roman Empire, as you know, around 325 AD. This is when it was started. Some people believe the Vatican may have even had a part in initiating and helping Islam get started. But it's not a godly religion. I'll show you very plainly where the scriptures explain exactly what happened here. Muhammad was said to have seen an angel in a cave. He was a kind of a dark character. We don't know if this was a good guy or a bad guy. An angel in a cave. Interesting. And this is how he got the revelations to create Islam. And this is where all the Muslim cult began. It is a very dangerous cult, friends. And you will see that it leads people into bondage. The word Islam itself means submission. Okay. Isn't it interesting? You have all these black athletes or some of these other people changing their what they call their slave names to Islamic names. I mean, they just go from one slavery to another if they like, you know. I mean, they go from Jackson to Jabbar or something like that, you know what I mean? They take on this slavery culture, and they get involved in this slavery religion. Now, I've talked to a lot of Islamic people in my time. I don't hate Islamic people, but the movement itself is dark, and it's just like we face with so many things, like the World Economic Forum, the globalists, the political systems, the lying news media, the banks. I mean, when people get involved in this thing, they become its puppets, and that's what's going on in France right now. They have been integrating it into all different kinds of places across Europe, as you've seen, and along with that, you see all of these problems that have come up out of that situation. It's very well illustrated by John Bound's video there. You're going to see more of this, friends. It's not going to go away. As a matter of fact, I predict that it's probably going to continue for the next 3 to 4 weeks in France until they come up with some sort of a solution to get everything to calm down. And this time of year, you know, with the heat and people outside, there's going to be a lot of protests, a lot of arrests, a lot of fires, and there have been people killed already. Shotguns are being used. They don't know where a lot of these people came up with all these weapons, but of course, you know, they do. We had a guy who was from Syria, I think, who lost his mind out here in Colorado and shot up 10 people in a grocery store recently, and they say that we should give up our guns because of this, right? Your Second Amendment, don't believe them. You know, there's a lot of problems related to what's happening with this incursion of chaos. Why do they want the chaos? Because they want to step in with a martial law structure to control it all. And it's going to be just handed over to the very same people who've been ruining and usurping our authority in this country today. So Islam was an usurpation of the scripture, of the Bible, of the truth, to take these people down this road. And they're still there in this cult today. Well, we'll get back to that. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about it. Coming right up. I think we've got a break coming up here in a minute.
It really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race. and the fact that race drives history and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1 ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10 ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Hey, welcome back to the show here, ladies and gentlemen. Lightspeed with Steve Starnes here. Glad to be with you on the day before 4th of July. Hope you get some rest and enjoy it. Take it easy with those fireworks out there. We got people that shoot them off at like 2 in the morning and they get the dogs all upset and everything like that. So I hope you know, I wish we could just have a time when everybody shot them all off at once and then everybody would cease fire, you know what I mean? But that doesn't happen around here. But I don't know how things are where you are, but it sure is annoying. I was going to get back into talking a little bit about Islam, you know, and the problems that it has at root. And now when I wrote this letter, as I was telling you about, to the college newspaper, the university newspaper, about what was happening, warning them that we were getting ready to see Iran slide into a huge amount of darkness. I said that I'm not in support of the Shah. There was a fellow by the name of Shopar Bakhtiar, I believe is how it's pronounced, Shopar Bakhtiar. And you can look this up on the internet. He was not a Shah supporter. He was a guy who was a opposition party within the government. He would have been the person to lead the nation at that time because the Shah was in trouble. People hated his Savak. His whole dynasty was becoming more and more problem and odious. Even the CIA wanted to get him taken out. So they actually perpetuated and helped the Ayatollah Khomeini with these cassettes and started and fueled this revolution, this Islamic Shiite revolution, Prince. And I knew that was bad because I knew they were going from the frying pan to the fire, essentially. That was what was happening there. And I was trying to tell these people, this is not where you need to go. That was the political aspect of it. But I also dealt with the spiritual problem with Islam. And man, you should have heard all the libtards whining and complaining and calling me all kinds of different things like SS Allen, you know, and all these different things that they called me. I mean, they called me a Nazi. You know, that's what liberals do when they disagree with you, not knowing that they're the real ones if they're following Soros and people like that. But yeah, I mean, it was like for weeks and weeks, I was the number one straw man because I made some comments about what was happening. And I basically told them, I said, look, you know, the problem that Islam has is that it is the spirit of the Antichrist. And you can read that in John chapter, well, 1 John chapter 4 also, but is, as well as in verse 2. It says, well, but it says here in chapter 5 that whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our flesh. But he tells him, you know, basically that whosoever shall confess in chapter 4, 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. And it also says that whosoever denies that Jesus is the Son of God is the spirit of the Antichrist. So Islam tells you all about the Jesus that they have. It's not the Jesus of the Bible, friends. It's a Jesus who did not die on the cross. Okay, everything that's critical about the gospel, they have eliminated. And then people think they're hearing from God and that they worship Jesus or they trust him as a prophet, and they don't. They have denied that he's the Son of God. And it says, who is the Antichrist, but those who deny that Jesus is the Son with a capital S. That means the Word of God, light of light, very God of very God. Okay, now, our Jewish friends, if you want to call them friends, and I have a lot of Jewish friends, they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God either. It puts them in the same category. Same category, same problem. You've got a cult here. You've got people who are being misled. And I know this is kind of tough because when I'm explaining this to people, I'm saying this battle's been going on for many, many years, and Islam is never going to be conducive with Christianity. Never, never. And it's not going to be conducive with God either. I mean, you try to warn these people, you're in trouble. This is not going to take you there. Whosoever loves and makes a lie is going to have their place in the lake of fire. And this is one hell of a lie. You know, people need to wake up to it. Now, I can tell you this, that I have a niece by marriage who is a missionary to Islamic locations with her husband. They've been to Indonesia. They've learned the language. I am reaching out to a lot of these Islamic people. I don't hate them. I'm trying to reach them, you know. But and they've had some great success, too. But you may have heard this, but a lot of people in the Islamic world are having what they call good dreams. Good dreams. You may hear that phrase repeated, where in dreams the Lord is revealing himself to them, and he's saying, I am Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you are on the wrong track with Islam, and I want you to follow me, come with me. And these guys are it's pretty common. A lot of these men are, and even some women, of course, in this society are having these good dreams. And a lot of people are coming out of Islam, and they are under extreme pressure, persecution, to the point of they will be attacked and even assassinated if they leave Islam. This is a cult. This is the way a cult works. That's exactly what it is. And we've been helping with this mission field over in places like Indonesia and other Southeast Asian locations that are undisclosed because they don't even tell us where they are, where they're working with these folks. And we have a lot of people who are coming out of this right now and are waking up to it and trying to reach these people before it's too late. But this system is extremely dangerous. It is designed to take down governments, and it worked all across Europe. You don't think they can do it, they're doing the same thing again. All they need to do is get to 11% of the population. They'll come in, they'll set up shop for a little while, they'll be nice. It may seem strange, but sometimes even a little helpful. You know, you say, well, you know, they're just regular people, live and let live. But then when they get to the about 11% of that population, they begin to start to change things. They start to demand that their holidays be recognized by businesses, You know, they start to demand that foods and things like that that are that they consider kosher in Islam be served in public places. They set up shops in your universities, and I'm going to get back to the one I was telling you about, CSU. They start infiltrating schools. They start setting up mosques all over the place. As I said before, mosques are not their number one priority is not a house of prayer. They are a location for government, Islamic government. That means if there are problems in the Islamic community, the police and the people of your regular law enforcement do not apply. They take on all responsibility and deal with all of their own problems inside their community, and they don't want you intruding. That's the way these things are. Now, as they get stronger and stronger, they begin to take over more and more. It gets to the point to where they actually take over your government. And this happened all across Europe, friends. It did, all across Europe and North Africa for many, many years, from, you know, the 600s all the way to the 11, 1200s. I think it was the printing press that finally set Europe free when they began to print the Bible and people began to wake up to all this stuff. You know, Islam is not of God. I warn people, don't. You know, you got to realize that this is a cult that you're dealing with. And I said this in this letter, you know, of course. Well, man, you should have heard all the ruckus and all the people who paraded around and wrote nasty letters. And I mean, I was the scapegoat and the straw man for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then they took over the U.S. embassy. And what happened then? Ding! You could hear a pin drop. Everybody went quiet. Really? Oh, all of a sudden, Iran became the bad guys. And, nobody ever bothered to write, say, you know, that guy Steve was right. You know, this is going bad fast. You know, that's what I said. I warned him. And it didn't happen too well. So, we are still there, and we're hanging in here. We're going to keep going with what we're doing right now and telling you the same thing today that I was back then, you know. And, of course, this was we're talking, you know, CSU, Colorado State University, is not Boulder, you know, CU, okay. But it's kind of leaning that way. We had a lot of knee jerks there. Now, when I went back to the campus recently, for some reason, they decided to rebuild their stadium for their football right on campus. They had a beautiful location way out west of town. They couldn't fix that up that we paid for once. So they built a whole new stadium. And as I'm going by to see this new stadium, there is this huge Islamic center there on campus now. Okay. What a difference a few years, 20 years will make, you know. You see the total difference. This is what's happening on your universities right now. They're going in and they're setting up their own places for their own food. They're having these studies. They're setting up this and that. They want things this way and that way. And they're slowly encroaching upon your government right now. They're coming in. They've been doing it in France. They've done it all over Europe. And this is why they've had all these attacks. These people will be peaceful for a while, but then it's going to start breaking loose. And who's using them? The New World Order. Those are the people who are using them. Oh, well, that's the gist of it. I think you can get the total idea of what's happening here. So, you know, that's John chapter 4. You'll read that there and also in 1 John chapter 4. And that's where you'll find out where it tells you exactly what the Bible tells you concerning this. You know, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. It's that simple, you know. And you try to tell these people that, and they're going to have problems with it because they believe another gospel. They believe something untrue. Now, you know, if you go to Galatians, Paul the Apostle talks about this problem in the first chapter of Galatians, where he says, he had, you know, Paul, talk about him. This guy was a legalist. Okay, just a quick background on Paul. You know, he was originally Saul of Tarsus. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, studied at the feet of Gamaliel. this guy was a legalist, and he was so intent on stopping these Jewish Christians, these first century Christian people, that he was going around and hailing these people up and dragging them off in chains, sometimes to be beaten, imprisoned, and even murdered. He was determined to stop this cult. That's how misguided he was. Well, you know the story. He was on his way to Damascus, and suddenly God decided, I'm going to change your whole agenda. Knocked him down off of his horse, blinded him with a light, and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? See, like good dreams he was telling you about? He said, I don't even know who you are. He says, I am Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. And he said, it's hard for you, Paul, or Saul. He said, because everything I'm trying to do, you're just kicking against it, you know. And now you're blind. You're going to go to Damascus. There'll be a man there. His name is Cornelius. He'll pray for you, and you receive your sight. So they had to lead him away, you know. And so this guy, you know, this guy who is intensive Hebraic, I guess, Jewish legalist, has to start a whole new mission. And this became, he became the Apostle Paul. You know the story. But after he left there, he went to, for a while, he traveled to the east and went to where old Mount Horeb is, actually the real Sinai. A lot of people have thought that the Sinai Peninsula there south of Israel is where the Mount Sinai is. It's been called that for many years, but no, actually, it's way out to the east in Arabia. Paul says that himself. This location is east in Arabia. It's out a little bit further southeast of where the Dead Sea is in Saudi Arabia. Today, that location is desolate. It's called Jabal el-Waz, I believe it is. And you can look it up if you have been there or seen it. Now, you probably haven't been there, but if you've been online to see it, you know, it's virtually desolate. There's nothing there. But you see all the signs. There's an altar there with the etchings on it. You see the mountain up above, which is Horeb, which is blackened like there was a huge fire up there. There's the rock that was split in half, but water came out of all the signs and the anthropological, I guess what you would call old landmarks are out there in that location. It's completely desolate. And, you know, Paul, the apostle, says that this location is remnant of the deadness of the law and the covenant of Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, who would be Ishmael is the patriarch of Islamic nations, as you may know. There was Isaac, who was the son who was of the promise, and then there was Ishmael. And God said to Abraham, you're going to have to cast out the bondwoman, Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, because the seed of the promise shall not dwell with the seed of the bondwoman. And Paul mentions that these two mountains, and even today is how prophetic, he said, the one that's out there where Moses received the law, you know, the law of Moses, which is what basically Islam is all about in many ways. They even circumcise their children, okay, or a lot of the men circumcise. They follow kosher law. They're very legalistic, you know what I mean? He says this is not where the promise is, but the promise comes from Jerusalem, which is full of life, full of energy, full of newness, full of. And if you look at the two cities, you look at Jerusalem today in comparison to where this location is, and you can't even go out there. I mean, it's all fenced off. I mean, it's a desolate, barren place, and you'll be arrested if you go out there. People have snuck in to get pictures and take photographs, and even climbed up on Horeb, the mountain, to get some of the rocks to look at them. But the Saudi Arabians won't allow it. Now, I understand they might even build a hotel out there for people who have to go see that. I don't know. But the place is just desolate. It's dead. This is where the Apostle Paul went after he was converted. He went out there to see what was there, and he realized, my gosh, there's nothing in the law. There's no life in it. There's no life in Islam. There's no life in the promise, in where the promise isn't, is what I'm saying. You have to have that only in the plan where God's life is coming from. And you can see that even today, prophetically fulfilled, in the reality of the landmarks on the land. So Paul was telling people, he was basically stating that you were going to be facing a lot of deceivers. And he's telling people that there will be a lot of people who will come around and deceive others with another Jesus, another story. And he says, to them in Galatians, the first chapter, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace of God in Jesus Christ to another gospel, which is not another. It's another gospel. See, what they're teaching in Islam is another gospel. But there's not another, that some would come and trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. That's what they're doing. Now, here's a prophetic note, because this is, remember, going to happen 600 years before Muhammad has his vision from the angel. He says, but though we, that means we ourselves, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have already received, let him be accursed. So Paul is warning people that you're going to have cult derivatives of the true gospel that are going to be dressed up like there's something that's supposed to be real, but it's not going to be real. Though he said, though an angel from heaven comes and tells you something, it's still not the right message. You want to keep that in mind. That is exactly what Islam is. And so, you know, when I wrote this letter, people got very angry. But then again, you know, about a couple weeks later, when they took over the U.S. embassy, you know, everybody just suddenly shut up, you know. And now I'm trying to hold them back and say, look, you know, let's hold back here with Iran. Okay, now everybody was angry with them, you know what I mean? And so it was really kind of a tough deal. But, you know, this man, Bakhtiar, could have been the leader had they done the right thing, but instead they chased him out to Paris, which is where they assassinated him later on, the Ayatollah and his people. So this is a bad situation. Now, are the Shia and the Sunni at odds with each other? Of course. Doesn't the Bible say that the sons of Ishmael will be every man against his brother? I mean, they're going to fight among themselves all the time as well. They're not fighting us. They're going to be fighting among themselves. Look at the mess that all of Mesopotamia has been in all this time, you know, from Iraq to Syria, all this fighting. And it's not as easy as, well, the U.S. If the U.S. had get out of there, then they'd all, no. It's been going on for centuries, long before we became a country, friends, and it will continue. So this is the thing that they're bringing in, but the New World Order is using them as dupes so that, you know, they can basically be the agents who create the chaos here in this country that they need to try to come in and change things and make things under their order instead. Saw an article here, and I don't have it handy. Virginia, who was on with me last week, sent me this, and I'm really going to get her back. Great lady. She's talking about 5G, but she goes further than just cell phones and all the smart meters. She'll tell you the workings of the UN, all these governors, all these people in the United Nations who are all about taking apart your freedoms, ladies and gentlemen. They're coming after you, and they're going to use Islam. They're going to use the LGBT people. They're going to use the Democrats. They've got Biden. I mean, think of it this way. Look at Obama. Wasn't he supposed to be actually born in Kenya, I think it was? That birth certificate that he had was so phony. It's incredible. It's amazing. And we're being gaslit when we look at it. You know, I used to, as a kid, I had some friends and that we, just for fun, you know, we were making fake IDs. We could make California driver's licenses really easy because they were black and white. You know, you just laminate them and put a new picture in there and put in the name. And, man, they passed really well. I mean, we were real cute, we thought, until our parents found out. And then we got into a lot of trouble because of, don't you even start doing this. And we haven't done it since. It was more of an art project than it was, but kids were buying beer, you know, stuff like that. I'm telling you, our fake driver's licenses were better than Obama's short form. Seriously. That's how filthy, rotten, bad it is. But people are being gaslighted. We have to accept this. Obama came out of this whole thing. Islam. Obama. And look at his stooge idiot vice president. Now you're president. See how they usurp authority? We've got to put a stop to it, friends. As I've said before, you know, we've done a lot of great work with getting onward towards the impeachment. Our congresswoman from Colorado, Lauren Boebert, got the impeachment passed. Oh, you heard all about it, didn't you? Yeah, I remember that front page news. No. Actually, the Republicans did vote to proceed impeachment hearings, and it went to the House Judicial Committee and also Department of Homeland Security concerning our borders, by the way, where all this fentanyl, all these criminals, all these people, all these radicals are coming in right now. The enemy is inside the gates, friends. is happening right now. And she's trying to get that shut down. They're trying to hold Joe Biden, the imposter, the, you know, the what we would call the coup d'etat leader of this upheaval in the United States that we've had to put up with. All these people need to be caught up with. And you're not hearing much of it on the news media, except if you're listening to people like us here at RBN. We're telling you the truth. We're telling you what you need to know. So we are we're here to do these kinds of things and be here for you. Help the network. Keep us on the air. Support the sponsors. Do what you can. I'm just a volunteer. You're not paying me anything. I'm just glad to be a part of what's going on here. I'm blessed to be able to do a show here once a week and kind of get, I know some of the people. Steve Elkins, a good friend of mine, like Michael and Julie is our producers and all the people that are working here. We just got a great crew, and you folks make it happen out there. But this is where it's headed. We've got to be aware of what's taking place right now, and there are ways to beat it. We're going to have to get organized locally. You can't count on D.C. I had a friend of mine who was talking about, he said, hey, you know what we got to do is all get our guns and go march around D.C. And I said, no, I think it's a bad idea. I think what we need to do is get organized here, locally. Make them come after us here where we are. So, you know, I'll do what I can do, and I'm going to continue. We may have a break coming up here pretty quick. I don't know. I think we missed one of my – I'm so long-winded. But if we get that break, I'll just try to back off and let us make some money with some of these commercials, because we want you to support our sponsors, keep the network on the air. Friends, I just want to just let you know, though, in reality, I know it's tough. A lot of people have different ideas about, you know, life and death, but there's this thing called the resurrection that's coming, the resurrection of the dead, okay? People are either going to resurrect to life or they're going to resurrect to life, which is not going to be good. You're going to live forever. You know, you're not going to reincarnate. You're coming back for a regenerated body, a perfect one, but an immortal body. And that's the key thing. You know, if you are regenerated in the power of God through the Son, you are going to go on into eternity, and the righteous will scarcely be saved, friends, scarcely. Wherefore the wicked? So people who are not involved in the Spirit of God, if they don't have the Spirit of God regenerating them, they're going to come back as brand X. They're going to come back the same way they were, only even worse. And I could tell you a lot more about that, but we'll get into that sometime in the future, and I'll really delve into the whole thing with the resurrection. As you may or may not know, many Jewish people do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And this was one of the things that Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, argued with in the book of Acts, the resurrection of the dead. Many Jews do not believe that the dead are going to rise from and come back to their bodies and live immortally. And that was an argument that Paul the Apostle had when they were trying to decide what to do with him. He brought that up, and they got into such a fight over that they forgot about Paul, you know. But many Jewish people do believe in the resurrection of the dead. It's been there in the Bible. It's in the book of Job. It goes all the way back. We know that Moses, who died, and nobody knew where he was buried, appears on the Mount of Transfiguration alive in his physical form. Who's with him? Elijah. Elijah was carried up alive in a whirlwind, a tornado of some kind, a chariot of fire. Remember? Chariots of fire. So that's what happened with that timing at the Mount of Transfiguration. Both Moses and Elijah were standing on the Mount of Transfiguration in a physical form. Apparently a physical form. Peter said, let's build three tents here. One for each of you. One for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And then all of a sudden, there was a loud, kind of a loud explosion and loud noise, and a voice said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. I want to focus on him. See, immediately Peter was getting his eyes on Moses and Elijah, and the father said, no, this is where your answer is, right here. It's not the law of Moses, friends, nor is it some great prophet. It is the plan that God has for your redemption in his son. And if you haven't been there, you know, I wish you would consider, please. Please consider, because I want to see people in eternity. I don't want people to go to the bad place, because the only other place is where these folks are going. And there are a lot of deceivers in this world. Are things wrapping up? Yeah. Is the Mark of the Beast coming? Gee, I don't know. Kind of looks that way, doesn't it? With the credit scores and the way you're being shot up with all these graphene oxide nanoparticles and the way they're going to try to track you and force you to use their currency. This summer, they're saying this month, they're coming in with the CBDC, digital currency, friends. They got it too. They can't keep, they don't even have enough money to print the dollars anymore. I mean, it's gotten so bad. They can't keep up with it. You know, they'd have to change the denominations. Every one becomes a 10 now. You know, they'd have to put them out just about as fast because things are inflating, going out of control that fast. We are in a mess, and we've got to get out of it. And the only way out of it, really, is to just hang in there, put your faith in God. And believe me here when I say this. If he says, you know, if you reach out to him, he's going to grab you by the wrist. You don't want to rely on your strength. I don't. I can't. You know, you want to rely on his strength. He says, no man, no devil, no angel in hell or in heaven or any place can pluck you out of my hand. No one can get you out of his protection. That's how strong his grip is. And if you have faith in that, then you know, you don't just have to have faith. You'll see it's real. I mean, I wouldn't be here right now talking to you if it hadn't been for God sparing me from all the stupid things I've done. You know, I can't imagine if you've done some stupid things. And I have. Hey, I'm not going to miss this break, though. We'll be right back, friends.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Mm-hmm.
cat named Jake, 31 candles on a birthday cake. Next year, I thought by now I should have a man, 2 car seats and a minivan, but I still ain't here. Hey!
Yeah! Still ain't here. I'll tell you something, friends. You know, you got to be thankful for what you got here. We still have a country. We still have an opportunity. We still have a chance. We still got to hang in there. We got to get local and we got to get organized. We got to think about what we can do here locally here to protect your county, because these UN mayors are all over the place. These people are, you know, this is something that Virginia Farber and I will talk about at length, maybe on another show coming up. Where these people are rooted already, this DLA Piper law firm. You know, there's an old saying, of course, that when the government can take away your freedoms because of emergencies, all right, or security threats, as they call it, they'll soon be creating security threats and emergencies to take away your freedoms. That's what they're doing. Look at COVID. You know, look what a disaster it was. We warned people. I think many of you know I did a film called HIV equals AIDS, Fact or Fraud, many years ago. I even had Fauci in it in the latter part of the film, though he was involved in the original part with the, getting the HIV press conference together with Margaret Heckler, where they started the scare tactic, and it went from there. We spent almost $1 trillion on that disaster this far, you know, at least that. I think it's about $700 billion on the GAO records. They add $1 billion to this disease every year to study it. And AIDS has been in decline since 1992, friends. Not long, really. Over 30 years now, 31 years. So, you know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that Fauci does. And we tried to warn people about him, you know, and most people didn't know who he was at all until 2019, late in, and then 2020. This is the kind of stuff that they're going to do. And they've got more plans for this kind of thing. And they're coming up with more of these things. They're going to have the probably cyber attacks. They're going to have power shortages. They're going to have people running through the streets. You're going to have the same thing that you see in France. In that video that we played earlier, you can see it at RBN's website. You can go up there and click on it and take it down and pass it out and get it around, friends, because we got to realize what we're up against. But you're going to be paying the jizya tax before too long. That's a tax for all unbelievers in Islam if we don't turn this around. This cult is taking over your country. The cult is bigger than just Islam, as you know. There are a lot of people coming in across that border who shouldn't be here. There's some people trying to get away from destitute situations, and I feel sorry for them. I know that. But there are a lot of criminal activity, people, and Islamic insurgents coming in, and they're going to start the same thing over here very quickly. So you better be prepared. We all have to be looking out for each other. You know, I want you to have, on top of all that, I want to say, I do want you to enjoy the 4th of July and think about it, you know, as what it meant, what it still can mean again. It's never been perfect. We know that. But we got to come back to our Bill of Rights is what we have to do. We have to come back to our Constitution. We need leaders who can lead us, not stick us and bleed us, as you know, the song goes that we have on the National Intel Report. We've got to get this back. We've got to take America back, and we can do it. I think we have a good shot at it. I think you can do it. I have faith in you. I want you to have a good 4th of July. I will see you next Monday, and stay tuned to RBN.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.